Hi, it's Caroline Nelson, and welcome to Choose Wisely, the podcast where we deconstruct food and sustainability topics with nuance and primary sources. At Choose Wisely, we believe there are a lot of right ways to eat well, and that we can't change a food system we don't really understand. This is part two of my interview with my friend, the inimitable Lacey Jean. She's a hide tanner, a butcher, a shepherdess, and yeah, just a badass. And her words are pretty radical on anything she's talking about. She's here to talk about food, but as in all the best conversations, we veer off far and wide. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, go back and catch up. I think it's just the perfect interview and the perfect type of conversation to launch us, you know, from Thanksgiving into the holidays and into a little bit of a period of hibernation for Choose Wisely. I am going to be off for a few months, taking kind of a cue from the outside world and going into more of a lower output prep mode for the darkest part of winter. And then we'll be back before long with lots of new episodes and interviews. So thank you so much for sticking with us. And before we launch into this episode, I want to thank our latest regenerator over on the Patreon, Julie. Thanks for joining us over there. Okay, let's go. Lacey Jean. Choose Wisely is brought to you by Little Creek Lamb and Beef, which happens to be our small business. My husband, Justin, and I raise dry-aged beef and grass-fed lamb, and we ship it all over the country from our ranch to your doorstep. We just launched our holiday shop, and it's full of festive beef bundles for everyone on your list, from the steak lovers to the grillers to the busy families. Simply choose your holiday bundle, select your shipping date at checkout, leave a gift note, and we'll take it from there. These bundles are perfect for family, friends, employees, co-workers, and anyone you want to wow or send a little love to. Visit littlecreekmontana.com to shop and use code WISELY, W-I-S-E-L-Y, in all caps, that's code WISELY, for 10% off your first order. I want to talk about safety, and
yes.
I'm sure you get the DMs. I have this really great picture of you from one of our workshops. Well, I have to tell people the sheep story. This is one of my favorite butchery stories. It's the greatness of Lacey and also the chaos of these camps. So we're running a shepherd camp together. It's a lambing camp where women come out and they learn like a crash course in lambing. And we're lambing in real time. So kind of anything can happen. We have, it's like maybe one of the first camps. And I've just brought the women to the ranch from the airport. So everyone's like fresh in airport clothes, basically like luggage on the bus, if I remember correctly. And we're just going to give them a quick introduction to the flock, walk through the sheep, see what's going on before we like settle in and do introductions. And I'm leading this tour. And Lacey is kind of on the outskirts, like walking through the flock. And she kind of pulls me aside and comes back and is like, oh. one of the ewes has died. And if you want, we can walk a different way.
And I will make it disappear.
Or I brought my knives and we can butcher her. What do you want to do? And you were like, I'm here either way. You know, like I'm here to support. Of course, like when you travel, you're like a turtle with your home on your back. And so like you have your gourmet goat cheese and also like your full butchery equipment in the truck. So what ends up happening
all hinges, is we run I don't want to be caught anywhere, you know, it's all about vulnerability for me anyway.
Nothing to work through. Nothing. We're fine. Was so glad you did. So we decided to run this impromptu butchery workshop. We give everyone the option to take a pass. Nobody wants to go to the cabins. Everyone's in for it. It was an unbelievable,
so glad you chose
cool
that.
Experience. Yeah. I mean, I was like, this is one of those value moments. Like, what are your values actually? And like, what are you here for to do on these camps? It taught me a lot, but I have this great picture of you from that weekend where you didn't have a saw or something. And so we were actually breaking down the carcass at that point. And you've just got an axe and it's like up in the air over a rib cage and you're about to bring it down. And so let's go to safety and like the DMs that you must get of like, be careful about this, be careful about this. Mm-hmm. Or like, what does that make you feel when someone tells you like, be careful? And how do you feel like safety like plays into your freedom and all that?
I feel like you understand this to its core because A, life is not safe. We are all going to get injured. We are all going to die. And I think it's part of why I enjoy my work because I am reminded often of the brevity of life, of how fragile we are. I know how we're built. Like I'm inside the anatomy and I can see the joints and how they're just held together by these little threads. I carry those visions and those thoughts with me throughout the day. And I think that this all ties back into what we've already talked about in the caring for my body through my food and my nourishment. And I work out and I'm very intentional with movement and my agility. And so I am very in tune with my body's abilities and how I can control myself, what my capabilities are, what my strengths and where my essentially just what my capacity is. Mm-hmm. And I have also learned over time how to be more in tune with the work I'm doing, how to mitigate risk through practice and listening to when I feel unsure and my body feels like there's a wavering and my mind has a little bit of resistance and a block. I listen to that and I don't follow through. So if there are days that I am working and I just know that I'm just not on my A game, I'm not feeling great, I'm going to pull it back or I'm maybe going to put it all down and revisit it later. Or I've even called customers that have had me scheduled to come out and been like, I woke up this morning and I am not myself. And that is A, not good for the work itself. Like I may not be able to be as sharp and have such an acute ability to process the animal well, but that's dangerous for myself. So that is where my safety is. My safety is in the practice. It's in the discipline. It's in learning my body. And so when I am on site and I am wielding a hatchet to break down a carcass, it's because I trust myself. I know that I can do that motion. I've done it before. I know how to handle an axe. It feels like an extension of my arm. And so while it looks unsafe to somebody else, that's because they don't trust themselves to do it. They don't know that they're able. And so therefore, I shouldn't be able to. And I think of that often when I'm watching like a YouTube video and, you know, you see a tree faller following a tree or you see a lineman up on a power pole or a fisherman out at sea and you see them doing something that scares the bejesus out of you. You have to remember, like, they've trained their bodies to be able to do that. Their body is a tool. They know what they're doing. And they've also accepted that there are risks in their work. And how beautiful is that to be like, life is adventurous and wild and scary and unsafe, but each person gets to choose for themselves.
What you said about freedom. Projection, that really hit me. Whoa. And I have seen you do this. I have seen you pull back from a moment and be like, let me take a minute. And also, actually, I need to rest right now. Can we rework, you know, the day? Because yeah, I'm just not feeling how I want to feel going into this. And it's really cool. I feel like you and I have both gotten pretty good at that with these camps of having to check in with ourselves because you can't run events like this ragged. It doesn't work.
No.
And so what's great about it, you think, oh no, we're going to disrupt the flow of the event if we delay an hour or whatever. And actually what happens is it frees everybody in the group to check in with themselves.
I agree.
It's radical. They're like, oh, wait, this is a place where I can listen to my instincts too.
You just nailed it because that is our society summed up. We push ourselves to the point of burnout because that's what is accepted and admired. That's what we're trained to do. So that seeps into every part of our life. So if we were to take back more of those spaces where we can listen to our intuition and go at a flow that feels better. Imagine what society would look like.
This is like my favorite nature thought experiment. Like, what would happen if all the women in the world woke up tomorrow and were like, I'm actually going to listen to my own instincts. And my theory is it would crash entire GDPs. Like, economies would go down.
It would.
There would be like a new world order, because suddenly you just can't, you know, it would be like a sustainability thing too. Like, we just wouldn't have fast fashion anymore. We wouldn't have cosmetics. We wouldn't have like all these. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to take you to butchery real quick. This is something that you wrote about, taking a life. Is it hard to kill them? I sigh. I get asked this so often. I'm not frustrated with the people asking. I'm frustrated by our current times in relation to how we approach our survival. I'm frustrated that these questions don't get answered by necessity. We go outside and put our feet in the grass because we heard about it on a podcast, and now we need our 15 minutes of grounding. I want to sometimes be the butterfly that knows how to migrate at the right time, or the bear that knows when salmon are spawning. I want to be busier living and not thinking so much. So my answer today to that question is no. It's not hard to kill an animal for food when I am busy living. I think some people might want that fleshed out a little more, pun intended. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean when you say, I'm frustrated by our current times in relation to how we approach our survival?
Well, and we've kind of hit that, we've touched on it already, just the disjointedness of how we currently live and how we are not necessarily responsible for our survival anymore. We ask somebody else about our health, and we rely on somebody else to provide our clothing and our food and our shelters and our water, and every aspect of our life is in somebody else's hands if we want it to be. And I think that, and I am encouraged by how many people seem to be turning around and recognizing that there are parts of the human experience that we cannot rely on progression and technology to replace for us. Mm-hmm. There is a trade-off, you know, if somebody else is going to do everything for you, what do you do with your day? Like, what gives you gratification? Where does your satisfaction in your life come from? And it can come from things, but I think that it like is this, it's a, the things have to continue to be bigger and more grandiose and more luxurious in order to continue to fill the hole. And at a certain point, you kind of run out. You're like, I've done all the things. I'm still feeling empty. And what I think feels good, and you can see it all over Instagram, you can see it all over social media, you can see it in these workshops and camps that are popping up all over the place, is people want to feel human again. They want to know what it feels like to, know what plants they can use for their own survival and food. People want to know what it takes to take meat from a live animal to the steak on their grill. And a lot of people that end up in my workshops tend to be people that have either been a vegan or a vegetarian, and they are now recognizing that there's something amiss with that for themselves. I'm not saying across the board. I'm just saying that for themselves, something doesn't feel right. So they're exploring, why do I feel this way about meat? I'm going to watch the process and see what it feels like. And so for myself, learning how to harvest and butcher an animal, it came from a place of necessity. At a certain point, I was curious. I was like, okay, what's the difference between the grocery store meat and this farm share that I heard about? Like, is there really that big of a difference? So I bought into a farm share and I tried it, and like the flavor was outstanding. And then also the understanding of the story brought something new to my experience. It made my, you know, I felt a new gratitude, and I didn't want to waste as much. Like, something was like clicked. And from there, our economic situation was such that I couldn't afford that meat at that time anymore. And so I had to make a choice, go without meat, go back to the grocery store meat, or figure out how to do it myself. So I found free chickens on Craigslist and decided I was going to learn how to butcher them myself. But it was because of necessity. It was because I was like craving nourishment from a mind, body, soul perspective. And so I learned. And when I realized, I thought that you had to be calloused. I thought you had to be emotionally shut off in order to participate in this. And this is something I keep hearing from people that come to the camps, is they're like, I like prepared myself ahead of time. Like, I've got to be like strong and stoic and like hold it at arm's length and don't feel too much. And they show up and they participate and they're like, I feel more than I've ever felt. They're like, I feel this gratitude and this rawness and this primal part of me I didn't even know was there. And I think that can be scary for some people because it brings up a whole flood of other things, but it's also a remembering. It's a remembering of our humanness and in this participation that we are part of. We are nature. We are the trees and the rain and the elk and the predators. Like, we are part of that whole system. And that's so exciting to me that it's not the wilderness out there and then me that's separate. Like, where do I fit? But I have to rely on the food out there. Instead, it's this like, I am part. And so learning how to do it well and with reverence, and appreciation and this gratitude and this community element to it has been a missing piece for myself. And I think for many other people.
You said that so well. And I really think one of my little pet theories is like all of our food anxiety that we have, or much of our food anxiety that we have in modern day, a lot of the rise of these sort of like both sort of meat averse diets and then also like meat obsessed diets, which I think are kind of, they're in reaction to each other. It's like a yin and yang.
Yes.
And like the sort
paradigm
of
the paradigm does like to do that. Like, you know, swing.
I feel like these things are in some ways a reaction to the disconnection and also a reaction to the excess. I don't think our brains feel good going to the grocery store, having had no part in any of the food arriving there, having endless options. I think it creates like some kind of cognitive dissonance in our lizard brains that doesn't feel quite right. Like it feels really good. And then, but below that, it doesn't quite gel. And so then we have to find these ways to restrict ourselves, rules to limit the excess, to make our like self soothe almost. And so we have like restrictive diets, or we're only going to buy organic, or we're going to like all these rules and restrictions that are like, I really think they're kind of soothing in a way. It's like, okay, this is how I can return to
It gives us boundaries. Yeah. Like, they're false.
Yeah. they're bullshit.
Because we don't thrive when we don't know. It's going back to like wanting to put people in labels. You know, we really like to have, we like to have boundaries. We like to have something that gives us security and walls. And that's true for,
and I have found like, for me going, you know, being able to occasionally butcher our own lamb, have our chickens get their eggs. My husband just got an elk. That has unlocked, like, I don't have to go forage my own dandelion greens. Right. Though doing those things have unlocked for me the gratitude that this is the case for all of the food that ends up on our plates. And I don't think, and neither of us are saying you got to go out there and make your life super hard and do everything yourself.
No.
We were never meant to live that way. But I do think that something tastes different. Like, food tastes different when you have participated in it.
I
think living in your home feels a little different when you've participated in putting it up. Like, there's something that I'm always trying to tease out about, like, what we're really after and what actually makes us satisfied.
Story. We love stories. And when we sit down to a plate of food that we participated in getting there, there's a story. When it's something that we picked up on the way home from work. And again, I like what you just said. It's not a matter of like, you have to do all the things. But when we start adding more story to our life, I think it begins to feel richer. The days begin to feel fuller. Their color kind of comes back to them. And I like saying often to people, because, you know, I'll have a conversation, someone will ask me what I do, and I'll tell them, and they're like, I could never do that. And I was like, you know what? We're not all supposed to be the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. Like, I want to celebrate the aptitudes and the talents and the passions that other people have. And I've taken some workshops for things that I'm never going to do, like a jewelry, like metalsmithing. I took a metalsmithing class. And I was like, I'm not probably going to be a metalsmith. I just want to understand what goes into it. I want to appreciate the work that goes into it, because I'm fascinated by jewelry. Like, you and I share that. We're all about our earrings. It just kind of gives us a little bit of flair. So I took this class from this gal, and by the end of it, I was like, you know what? I will pay money, big money, for you to do this. I don't want to do this. Like, this is not for me. And I love it more now, because when I wear my earrings, there's this story for me of what I know it takes for somebody else to do this. So understanding that we don't have to do all the things, but I think that when we do participate in some portion of it, we have a better understanding of the work and the fact that somebody does need to be passionate about it for it to be done well. So now I can be so grateful that somebody is passionate about electricity, because I don't want to wire my house, and I paid somebody to do it, and I did not balk at the pay. I was like, whatever it is that you charge, I get it. And if you do it well, I'm willing to pay. And I think that that gives you more appreciation for all aspects.
I so agree. I want to ask you, just, you and I talk about a phenomenon a lot, and you wrote a post about it, and I'll just read what you wrote. Picture me, 20-something with two small children. I got it in my head I wanted to learn hide tanning. I remember reaching out to a few tanneries and asking, can I just follow you for a day and maybe you can show me the process? Can I just, I hear this from my friends in ranching, farming, sewing, blacksmithing, etc. Folks reaching out asking to learn, but at no expense to themselves. Now when I see a friend honing their craft and I would like to learn, I ask if there's something they would like to trade, or do they offer workshops? Why do you think, and I completely feel this way, like, why does it grate when someone says, like, can I just come out and follow you around for a day and like help you do whatever? And what would be the way for us to more cooperatively, or more in a more giving way, participate in kind of information exchange?
I love this topic so much, because we live in a convenience-based world, and dopamine, you know, we want the thing now, instant gratification. And I call it, in many ways, that phenomenon to me is candy. It's like, we want the thing that immediately satiates the desire, you know, but it's short-lived. And there's a couple issues with this whole way of trying to accumulate skills. And that's A, when we want something immediate, it's short-lived. We're not going to get the same experience out of it as we would if we had to slowly hone a craft or a skill or a lifestyle. And B, it puts people that have put in that time in a position of, it's very difficult not to feel some resentment come up, because for yourself and for myself and many, many others that we both know, it has been years of kind of quietly working towards something and struggling. And it isn't a matter of, I want people to struggle, but plants that don't get pushed around by the wind and have like varying temperatures, they are weak. And that's the same with skill. Like, you need to struggle a little bit in order to be good at what you do. you don't train for a marathon and not feel a little bit of pain. Mm-hmm. And what is birthed from that is resiliency and adaptability in your craft. Like, you and I have talked often about how it's important to check in often and see what's working and what's not working. Just because you start to become good at something doesn't mean that you deserve to be paid for it. There has to be a need for it, and there has to be quality mm-hmm. behind it. You can't just expect consumerism to hold you. So, yeah. And I don't mean to be blunt about that. I just think that, well, maybe I do, but I think what people are seeing of what I do now is the tip of the iceberg. And
yes,
there's
yes.
so much that has gone into it. So when somebody asks me, can I just, it's very uh-huh. difficult to, in a short amount of words, explain to them that iceberg effect of like, well, what you're asking for is actually 15 years of work mm-hmm. and struggle, and I cannot box that mm-hmm. up and just give that to you. So when you show up and watch me work, you are not just watching the work I'm doing today. You're watching an accumulation of many, many years of work, and there's no mm-hmm. way for me to condense that down for you.
And you're asking for something that you wouldn't ask of trained professionals in other fields. Like,
yes.
you wouldn't approach an electrician and say, can I just shadow you yes. for a day and like yes. get a sense of
can
how to
I
wire?
Just show up at, you know, yeah. the surgery and watch you cut
yeah.
open somebody. And
like,
then
we
I
assume
know how.
Like, oh, yes. those people are busy and that would be an inconvenience
yes.
to them.
And absolutely.
So I think there's like a subconscious, nobody means this. I certainly no. sent these DMs to people when I was getting into new skills.
Yep.
Can I just, yep. how do you, can you just explain
yes.
real quick how to like do whatever?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's an implied belief that the work is not that hard. It's not really a highly skilled
yes.
trade, because you wouldn't ask that question
yes.
of somebody who is like a highly skilled craftsman.
Yes.
So that's part one. And so tell me how these two different outreaches will hit you. So the first one is like,
okay.
hey, can I just come one of these days when you're smoking sheepskins? Can I just come just for like 2 hours and help you do that? And like, I'm trying to figure that out and it's hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
That one, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I just delete that shit now. Like, bye.
Yeah.
Yep. No.
Yep. It's an immediate, like, nope.
Immediately no. But here's a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've been following your page for a long time. I'm actually a member of your hide tanning course, and I'm having a lot of trouble with the last stage of hide tanning, the smoking step. I was wondering whether the next time you're smoking, could I come out and shadow you? I would love to bring lunch. I would only take up an hour of your time, and I would be happy to bring you a dozen eggs from my mm-hmm. chickens
mm-hmm.
or what do you need? What would be helpful? You know,
right. Yeah.
Like, does that land differently?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for like bringing it to that direction. Because there is I have a desire and great joy in watching people learn and get passionate and excited about the things that I'm also passionate about. Like the more the merrier, truly. Like, there's enough to go mm-hmm. around. I believe fully in abundance and
totally,
the fact that
totally.
If other people are doing what I'm doing, that the world is just going to be better for it. So mm-hmm. I do have a desire to facilitate when I can. And I love when somebody verbalizes or expresses that they see the value in what
yeah.
I know, and they want to make sure I am compensated for it, whether
mm-hmm.
it's through, you know, monetary compensation or their time or resources. And time is a hard one, because I get a lot of people that ask if they can come help me out in exchange. And that's
yeah.
very difficult, because
yeah.
again, it goes back to the skilled work.
Yeah, it's like, you're not helpful yet.
Yeah,
sorry.
I have to put in a lot of effort to train you to be helpful, which isn't helpful immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
And not that the offer isn't genuine and coming from a good place, but it feels really good when somebody expresses that they value what I have and they want to know, like, what, in what way would you like to be compensated for? Like, that question right there would be,
oh my gosh, yeah,
night and day difference. Or just asking, like, what resources would you suggest to get started? Or do you have a place that you think I should start out at? Those questions, I think, are benign, and I'm happy to address them when I can.
Yeah, thanks for, I think, like, we can feel preemptively like, we're being crass, or we're being harsh or gatekeepy if we don't immediately want to just, like, cut ourselves open and share everything we've learned with every random person who asks. And I think that's, like, an insane thing to expect anyone to do that's a professional. I think this is, like, a specifically female thing too, of like, share, give.
Yes. Because that's what's been expected of us, right? Like, that's sort of the cultural norm, is that women give freely.
Yeah. Think nothing of the value of your time. And the thing for me is, like, I know, like, if you get in with me, you can have it all. Like, in terms of, I will tell you everything I know over a cup of tea, and you'll be in my world so fast. If you are willing to, like, I mean, I've just had so our ranch hand who was here seasonally, such a great guy, came in. I get a lot of DMs of like, hey, I want to, like, learn more about horses. Can I come be a ranch hand for you guys? I'm like, no, because that's 1% of what the actual work of ranching is. And I can already tell you're not down for what we actually do. He came in because I posted, like, I need help taping boxes in cold storage. You know, is anybody down just for a few hours? Here's what it's paid, whatever. And he showed up and he taped the hell out of those boxes. And I've told this story before, but I think it's a great illustration of, like, how to actually, when you see that somebody's willing to start from the bottom and learn and do the crap jobs well, by the end of 6 months later, this kid, I mean, he had birthed lambs. He had, he was fully taking care of the flock. In a high level way, and just being so freely, like, I was so excited to impart knowledge, knowing that this was a real exchange happening here. And I get very defensive of people that, like, want to come in, you know, these camps that we run. I was joking with a friend last night of, like, everybody wants to come be a wrangler and do the cool girl jobs. And it's like, well, what I actually need is, like, somebody to
wash
do a dump
the
run.
Linens.
And then the I'll bed. Put you on a horse, like, once you show that you, like, fit in around here and you're good help. I mean, that's how everything that I have learned from ranching came from me cleaning cabins and essentially just refusing to leave until
I learned. That's exactly what I was going to point out, is that you can kind of tell when somebody has a personal vision. They're like, I am going to accomplish this thing, and I am going to figure out which avenues it will take, but I'm not going to rely on somebody else to get me there. It's me. I'm going to get myself there, and they'll put in whatever work needs to be done. So, like, for myself and learning how to hide tan, there was nobody. There were no mentors. There was no hide tanning. There was no, like, tannery that I could learn from. There are no workshops, partially because the ones I found were too far away. I had small children. I couldn't afford it. But I was not going to be discouraged. I did not blame anybody else for not holding my hand. I was like, this is mine. This is my dream, my vision. I will figure it out. So I started piecing it together. I started scouring bookstores for, like, old timey books so that I could learn. I failed and I failed and I failed and I failed, but I continued to come back to this vision of, like, this is what I want. I will get there. And that's the difference between the scarcity mentality of, like, I can only get there if this person gets me there, or some, you know, if I can get there quickly, versus there are many ways that I can accomplish my dream and my vision. And it doesn't have to look this one certain way. So when somebody feels discouraged because they can't come be your ranch hand, or they can't be my tanning assistant, but they hold on to their vision, that's what's going to help them succeed in the long run towards what they want, because it's theirs. It's not up to somebody else to get them there. And you can sense that when somebody shows up and they're like, this is mine. Maybe this is my way to get there. If not, just, they, like, keep going.
I would have done anything to get in the room. Yeah. Like, and I still, there's no, and there can't be any job that's beneath any of us. And that to me is like the number one, I feel like I can smell it now in an email or a DM. I just have one more meaty question for you. I think it's a good place to end. That's where we're going. Grit. So this is one of my favorite things you've written. And this is, you're quoting somebody else in the beginning. I couldn't do what you're doing. That's a bittersweet thing to hear. I want to say, yes, you could, if you really wanted to. I only have two choices. Keep going or let my dreams die. Nobody is responsible for giving me the life that I want. I won't wait until someone else comes along that might know how to do the things I don't know how to do. And sometimes I feel sorry for myself. Sometimes I cry because the life I chose is hard. So my question is, I know that there's a tendency to want to romanticize your life and your type of work.
And yours.
And I think, and mine. And I think sometimes we chafe when we feel that happening, because you and I both work really hard to be extremely transparent about what is gained and what is given up in doing this work. And when I'm around you, people will be like, where, Lacey, where'd you get your hat? Where'd you get your boots? Where'd you get your clothes? Where'd you get, like, they like pepper you with, it's like so sweet and adorable. And it's like a sign of how adored you are. And I, to myself in my head, I'm like, it's not the boots. Like, like I could go buy your boots. It's not going to do the same thing on me. It doesn't make me look like that. Like what people are actually, I think, like attracted to in you is a sense of your resilience and your grit and the, like, you can do hard things that is like emanating off of you. But my question is, like, can you tell us, what do you think the trade-offs are of living in the way that you do? What do you think has been given up and what has been gained?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I want to start by saying that there's compromise no matter what you choose, even if it's a life of complacency and convenience or more modern living with a lot of things that feel very secure. They're not, is the thing. There is nothing that is for sure. So when we choose something that looks uncomfortable, it's not really all that different. It's just that I'm choosing my discomfort. When I chose to have wood heat as my primary source of heat, I signed up for having to source the firewood and chop the firewood and load it into the stove every day and stoke it. And sometimes coming into a cold house, or waking up and it's cold and I have to force myself to get out of bed and start the fire. But it doesn't mean that that is less comfortable than any other form of heating, because a different form of heating is going to require you to get up in the morning and drive to work maybe, or do work that is sometimes difficult. Maybe the money doesn't come easy in some way. And that is just not directly connected to your heat, but it's still how you get heat. So, my work is physically demanding and I'm out in the rain sometimes and it's hard, but what I get back is a body that is agile and strong, and I get food that I don't have to pay for, because oftentimes people pay me in meat. So that is currency. Having a strong body and food that I was directly responsible for putting in my freezer and onto my plate, and it's delicious, that is something I would pay for otherwise. So it's uncomfortable to attain it, but it's not any more uncomfortable than any other choice. It's just I get to choose the discomfort, and what I get out of it to me makes more sense. So it's become very intentional, the discomfort that I choose. And there are things that I choose not to be uncomfortable about because I don't want to, you know?
There are
certain things that I'm like, I'm not going to go without some electricity. Like, I have that and I'm okay with paying money for it. But like, I made a conscious decision.
You have this dreamy bathtub setup. And I think of you as someone who like chooses their hard and also like, I mean, has a richness to your life.
Oh my gosh, my sauna. I just got a sauna.
Oh my gosh, a sauna! I'm excited.
And it's that exact scenario in that like, and it, this goes back to talking about like putting ourselves in boxes. Like some people or myself even would want to put myself in this box of like, you choose like a rugged, primitive life. And so when I choose things that are like soft and luxurious, a little voice in my head is like, is this really who you are? And it's like, I get to be whoever I want to be. If I want to live without running water, but I have a sauna, that's a choice I'm going to make. And I didn't even pay for the sauna for anybody's like, how did she, that was like a whole nother story of, it's just wild. So anyway,
I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. And I think of you as just someone who lives so well.
Thank you.
So how can people find you and how can they best support your work?
Thank you for asking. I do, as you do as well, I put a lot of my story on Instagram. So it's a little bit of business, a little bit of my work. It has to be holistic like the rest of me. I can't separate things. So they can find me at Fireheart Shepherdess is my Instagram. And that is also my website. I hold workshops. I'm trying to be more local to my area, but I do travel some. I'll be in Montana. I sell the byproducts. That is partially how I support myself. So when I go and do slaughter work for people, oftentimes they pay me in sheepskins and skulls or the meat. And then I in turn put in the work to create products that I'm very proud of and get to sell. And it just means the world to me that people choose to buy those things from me. So
do you still have a hide tanning class?
I do. Yes. I have an Instagram page in which it's a private page and all of the videos are there for people to conveniently refer back to as needed. It's also the way that I most like to interact with people regarding hide tanning. So in our conversation that we just had, when people ask me questions, it's not that I don't want to offer those, offer the feedback and the information and experience. It's just that in this way, it feels very reciprocal. They compensated me for the experience and the time. And so I gladly spend whatever time is needed. People can download videos or photos to me and ask me for feedback, and I can walk them through that process as much as they need me to.
I'll link all that in the show notes. And
thank you.
Shout out to your sheep horn earrings. I hope you do more. Ooh, I get asked about them a lot every time I wear them.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
they're so cool. And
thank you.
You,
I would like to make more.
At the top of the episode, you said something like you want your life to be like functional and beautiful.
Yes. The Venn diagram.
I really see it in your work.
Where functionality and beauty intersect, that is where I want to just like nestle in and do life.
And you do it so beautifully.
Thank you
for sharing your wisdom and just hanging out with me.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.
You know, I never want to be parted from you.
I know. I'm like, how many more months until I'm out there?
How many more minutes? Yeah.
I am so excited to get to spend a lot of time with you and the creature.
Yeah, you're going to be like the first. I mean, it was so funny. Like I'm talking to Justin, like, I don't know about visitors. I don't, you know, we're going to need to really pace this out. And I'm like, Lacey, can you actually come immediately after I birth this child and like be here for a month? And
I'm excited to be honorary Cookie Aunt or whatever it is. To all of my nieces, I'm Aunt Cookie, and my sister recently was like, I think you need to be like Mutton Mama or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, so I'll have to work on that title a little bit more.
Oh my God, it's so cute. Yeah, we'll have to brainstorm what you're going to be. I love that. I love that our baby gets to know you so early.
Oh my gosh. It's so going to be a joy.
And then you can be there and I can be my full gallows humor.
I'm so excited for it. bring cynical on self. The darkness.
Yes. Yes. And on that note,
on that note, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me today on Choose Wisely. I hope your next meal is delicious and your next conversation nuanced. Cheers! Choose Wisely is produced by me and edited by Lauren DeLuca. Rate and review us on your podcast app. It takes 5 seconds and we really appreciate it so much. And you can find us on Instagram at Choose Wisely Podcast. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/choosewiselypodcast or shoot us an email at choosewiselypodcast@gmail.com.